Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Lamed Gimel. We're in Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We are discussing our Erev Tchum. It has been the topic of the third parak here of Masechtas Erevin. And our first discussion in the parak has been setting up an Erev Tchum using food. Go back to the discussion we had on daf Lamed. That parak started all the way back on Chavav Amud Beis. So go back to Daf Lamed. So the Gemara over there notes that not everyone's in agreement that you could set up an Erev Tchum with food, establishing a new Makom Shvisa, a new point of center, so that now your Tchum will be from not where you are, but rather where your food is. This idea of establishing a new Erev Tchum with food, so that is a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether you could do that or not. Of course, consensus is, not consensus, but majority position is that you can. Beis Hillel's position is that you can. But there's a Shita that says that you cannot. Hananya, quoting the Shita of Beis Shammai, says, no, the only way to make an Erev Tchum on Shabbos and to reestablish your Makom Shvisa is to just simply pick up and move. Take all your belongings, your significant belongings, and move to a new location. So not to say, by the way, that Beis Hillel disagrees with that idea. I mean, Beis Hillel says that you can establish a new Makom Shvisa using your legs. That's making an Erev Tchum with your raglayim. So Beis Hillel agrees with that, but according to Beis Shammai, that's the only way you could do it. Again, that's Beis Shammai reported by Hananya. Anyway, that is not the accepted position. The accepted halacha is that you can make Erev Tchum using food. And for the first part of the parak, we discussed what kind of foods you could use. And the simple answer to that question is essentially, basically, every kind of food. As opposed to Erev Chatziris, which you can use only bread. Tosfos pointed out in the beginning of the parak, but when it comes to Erev Tchum, you could use all foods. Yesterday, on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, so the Gemara changed the discussion Erev Tchum to accessibility. In order for the Erev Tchum to work, so you have to put the food down in this new location where you can access that food, both physically and halachically. Now, the physical accessing of the food, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. We're going to be talking about cases tomorrow where the Erev was put inside a locked area and you lost the key. Okay, so that comes up in the course of tomorrow's daf. But meanwhile, today's daf, we're going to talk about halachic accessibility. Admittedly, today's daf is going to be a little bit challenging. It's a difficult daf just to follow along. But the basic idea, and hopefully we will be as clear as possible, is that when it comes to an Erev Tchum and accessibility, so it has to be that you have to be able to access it halachically, meaning you're not violating any Isurei Daraisa when you're actually accessing your Erev. So as a simple example, which we saw in yesterday's Mishnah, let's say, for example, that you want to establish your Makom Shvisa in Rishus HaRabim, and the Erev happens to be in Rishus HaYachid, so that's going to be no good. That won't be an acceptable Erev, because you have lost that accessibility. Here's a critical point to this whole discussion. When are you Kona your Makom Shvisa? So that's during the Bein HaShemeshes period. So right at the threshold where it goes from Friday to Shabbos in that twilight period where it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So it's at that point in time that you're acquiring your Makom Shvisa. If at that point in time there's an Issa Daraisa preventing you from retrieving your Eruv, so then it's not going to be good. It will be an unacceptable Eruv. What if it's an Issa Darabanan? So here we have a major Machlokas Tanayim, and we will see this Machlokas again today in today's Daf on Lama Gimel Med Aleph. But I'm just right now hopefully organizing all this information. Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether or not the Chachamim were Gozer Shvus during the Bein HaShemeshes period. Whether there was a decree on Isuri Derabanan, Bein HaShemeshes. Rebbe's of the position that Lo Gozer, that there was no Gzera of Isuri Derabanan during the Bein HaShemeshes period. The simplest way to explain Rebbe is that since the Bein HaShemeshes period anyway is a Safek, and now we're talking about a Safek Derabanan, we could be Mekel. That's a simple explanation of Rebbe. I'm not sure if it's correct, but it's certainly a simple explanation. On the other hand, the Chachamim say no, that during the Bein HaShemeshes period, the Isuri Derabanan, the Isuri Shabbos, both the Oraisa and the Rabbanan, are going to be in effect. And so therefore, if it's an Issa Derabanan preventing you from getting your Erev, so that also would be no good, according to the Chachamim. All that stated, we go back to our Mishnah that we saw yesterday. I'm not starting from the Mishnah, we're going to be starting from the words Amar Rava, but just quickly recapping the specific case that we dealt with yesterday. The Mishnah described a scenario where you put your Erev in the tree. And if it's above 10 tefachim, the Erev is no good. If it's below 10 tefachim, the Erev is going to be good. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe where you put in the pit. And tomorrow we're going to come back to discuss the second half of the Mishnah, where you put the Erev in the pit. But meanwhile, Erev in the tree above 10 tefachim, no good. Below 10 tefachim, it is good, it is acceptable. What's going on in the Mishnah? So yesterday, collection of Amoraim got together, and they all agreed to the same pshat. The Gemara quoted a collection of three Amoraim together with Rav Nachman. Shmuel also earlier corroborated this pshat as well. What's the pshat in the Mishnah? Pshat in the Mishnah is that if it's above 10 tefachim, we're assuming the tree base area is 4x4 tefachim, and the tree height is and the Erev is now over 10 tefachim. So now where is the Erev in the Rishus Yachin? Where did you want your Makom Shvisa to be? Right at the side of the base of the tree. And that is, and it happens to be that the tree is going through an area of a Rishus Harabim. And so therefore now the Erev is in the Rishus HaYachid, and you want to make your Makom Shvisa in Rishus HaRabim? No good, because that's inaccessible. And that would be an Issur D'Oraisa to retrieve your Erev, so therefore the Erev is no good, and that would be the Pshat in the Mishnah. If, however, you're putting it below 10 Tefachim, so then according to our Mishnah, that would be fine. Why? Because it's no longer in the Rishus it's no longer in the Rishus HaYachid. Below 10 Tefachim is not Rishus HaYachid. Now, what is it exactly? So, most probably it's a Carmelis. If the tree's area, base area, is less than 4x4, it's a Makom Patur. But anyway, it's not a Rishus HaYachid. Being that it's not a Rishus HaYachid, retrieving it would not be a violation of Issa D'Oraisa, and therefore it would be fine. What about the fact that it's on a tree, and one is not allowed to make usage of a tree in Shabbos? That's an Issa D'Rabbanan. And again, we're talking about during the Bein HaShemeshes period. So therefore, retrieving it would not be a violation of an Issa Torah. It would be a violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan, but still, the Erev would work, because Lo Gazru Be'Shvus, the Chachamim were not gozer Yisuri D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemeshes period. That would also mean that the author of the Mishnah is Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi would be the author of our Mishnah, assuming such a pshat. This is what we all concluded yesterday. We begin today with the Gemara Amarava, which is about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, continuing in the Gemara. Amarava lo shanu ela bi'ilan, homed chutz le'ibur ashel ir. We're talking about a tree that was set up outside of the city perimeter. Ibur ashel ir is actually an extension of the tchum. We're going to be discussing it in much greater detail later in the Masechta, but the basic idea is that if I have a house within 70 amas of a city, so it extends the city limits. So, our discussion is where the tree is set up outside of the city perimeter. Aval ilan homid besochi burushal ir, but if the tree is set up within the city perimeter, afilo malam yasara hareze erev, even if it's above 10 tefachim, so the erev would be a good erev. Why? Demasakaman demalya dami, because the city is like it's filled up. Okay, now, this idea of Rava, it's a really interesting idea, and it definitely takes a little bit of time of processing this idea. The idea of Rava is as follows. First of all, what exactly is going on over here? So you're setting up your new Makom Shvisa, and you're doing so where you want to get to a point. What point do you want to get to? So actually, there's another city right next to your city, and the city next to your city is within Tchum. Fine. So getting to that second city is not going to be a problem, but that's not where you want to go. Where you want to go is you want to go even past the city. So there are three points. There's where you are currently. Let's call that point A. The city next to you or near you, that's point B. And you want to get to point C, which is even further down the road. So what you're going to do now is you're going to set up your Erev Tchum in the perimeter of that point B. And we're saying like this, that because now it's the Iburo shell ear, so what we're now saying is the following. By you putting the Erev in a tree and you're putting it above 10 tefachim, so moments earlier we call that a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore, and in the area right below the tree, right next to the tree, is a Rishus HaRabim, and your intent is to make your Makom Shvisa right next to the tree. Nothing's changed, meaning that is the basic idea that we're describing here. It's the same scenario. But over here, here's what Rav is introducing. The fact of the matter is that this tree right now is within a city limit. It doesn't mean that the area below is a Rishus HaYachid. The area below is still a Rishus HaRabim. However, here's what we get to do. Halacha allows us to see you in your Makom Shvisa right below the tree, right next to the tree, and your Eruv in the same place. Because since it's in a city, and here in a city could also mean just right outside the city, but it's betoch ibura shel ir, since it's in a city, we're viewing the city as if it's filled, and therefore it basically elevates you so that you and your Eruv in the same place. Now Rashi over here is extraordinarily clear, and Rashi is so clear, let's read the Rashi over here. Because Rashi makes this point really clear, and this is the part that's going to take a little bit of time to process. Rashi writes, Demasa, the city, Dibra Maskal Demasa, Mitoch Shei Mikofes Yishev Mechitzos Ve'eno Megula, since the city's got some walls around it, and it's not a revealed area, Chazino La Keman Demalia Afra, it's as if it's filled with dirt. And And so therefore what it does is that it allows you and your intention to include not only the area at the base of the tree, but even going above, even higher than 10 tefachim. The afa gav di iban lemishkalei lo masi shakel, daha ilan rishus ha-yachiv v'tachtav rishus ha-rabim. And here Rashi says it really clearly. You are not changing any definition of any domain. The tree itself is a rishus ha-yachiv, remains a rishus ha-yachiv. The area underneath is a rishus ha-rabim and remains a rishus ha-rabim. However, what we get to do is chazina lamakum shvisaso, kiilu gavola mehava kiilu niskav lishpos lamala, v'ikne lo ha-eruv. But what halacha allows us to do now is that's because within a city, so it allows us to say that your makom shvisa is not just limited to the ground, but your makom shvisa actually can just simply elevate to the point now where it's above 10 tefachim, where you and your eruv now are going to be b'makom echad. Okay, it's a chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush, and it forces us to consider what Rav is saying regarding Eruv Tchum. Eruv Tchum is a Dinder Rabbanan. Eruv Tchum is as we discussed just yesterday, it's a Kinyan. It's an acquisition, but it's not a Kinyan in the sense that you're purchasing. It's a Kinyan in the sense that you are now acquiring a new point of center. In this institution of acquiring a new point of center, so there is a certain amount of flexibility that's allowed. Over here, this idea of Rava is that the flexibility allows us to say that because you're within city, even though, again, when I say in a city, I'm reiterating because it's so important just to digest. It took me a while preparing to fully appreciate and understand this. It's still a Rishus HaRabim, meaning it's not, the area is not a Rishus HaYachid. And I know the beginning of Rashi is difficult because beginning of Rashi says it's circled by walls, which makes it sound like it's a Rishus HaYachid. But you're still in a Rishus HaRabim, but because it is within a city, it allows us now to say that your Makom Shvisa is not just limited to the ground, but it continues to go up as well. So that now you and your Erev are going to be in the same place. We haven't changed definition. The ground is a Rishus HaRabim. The tree is a Rishus HaYachid. Everything remains the same. It's just that this idea of Makom Shvisa allows us to just simply be a little bit more flexible in terms of what's incorporated within your Makom Shvisa. In this case, elevating your Makom Shvisa to where you and your Erev are in the same location. So the Gemara says, if this is true, so now let's take this idea and let's simply work with it. Let's go with it. Ihachi. Continuing in the Gemara. Chutz li'ibur shel ir nami. Kevin de Amarava, no saying Eruva yesh la'arba amos. Sa'havile reshus ha'yachid. Reshus ha'yachid ola ad l'rakia. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's say like this. Let's say the tree is not be'ibur shel ir, it's not within the perimeter of a city. Let's say the Erev is out there, in the middle of nowhere. However, we know that once you're Kona Makom Shvisa, so you get four Amos around that area. That four Amos around the area is yours, and not only that, but just like we said that the Ibur Shel Ir continues to elevate, it's Kamanda Afra, it's like filled with earth, Kamanda Malya Dama, it's like filled, same idea, it's filled with earth. Same thing over here. When you're acquiring any Makom Shvisa, so you're getting four Amos, and those are your four Amos. And why don't we say over there that it just simply continues to go up and to elevate? And really what the Gemara is asking over here is that it's difficult for our Mishnah, because consider, our Mishnah is where you put the Erev at the base of the tree. Sorry, you put the Erev in the tree, and you wanted to make your Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree. But now using this idea of Rava, of because it's a domain, so therefore it allows for elevation. So over here, any Makom Shvisa is a domain and therefore allows for elevation, allowing us to look at your Makom Shvisa, not just to the area on the ground, but elevating and continuing to go up. And so therefore now you and your Eruv are in the same location. Again, I'm going to reiterate, the area below is still the Rishus HaRabim. The tree is still the Rishus HaYachid. But because of this idea of Kaman Demalya, it allows us to say that your Makom Shvisa just simply continues to go up, and so therefore you and your Erev are in the same location. All this now becomes difficult because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in the scenario where you wanted your Makom Shvisa on the ground, Rishus HaRabim, and the Erev itself is in the tree, Rishus HaYachid, so the Mishnah says it's no good because it's inaccessible. Now using the idea of Rava, now we're saying that, no, it should be good, and that's difficult. It's difficult if you accept this premise of Rava. So what the Gemara will do now is the Gemara will defend. The Gemara is going to be defending Rava from the following front. So I'm Rav Yisrael Bered, Rav Mishash HaHacha B'ilan HaNote Chutz HaArba Amos Askinan. So in defense of Rava, what we're going to do now is that we're actually going to reshape the tree. The tree now is going to be looking like, if you will, the letter Lamed. The tree is going to go up vertically. Then it's going to make a left turn or a right. It's going to go horizontally. That horizontal turn is going to extend beyond four Amos. And then it's going to make a turn upwards again. Well, that turn upwards we haven't made yet, but it's going to end up looking like a Lamed. Now, so the Gemara now is suggesting that what is happening over here is that you wanted to make your Eruv at the base of the tree, where it's the Rishus HaRabim, and where did you actually put the Eruv? Not directly going upwards, but where that tree bends, makes that horizontal turn, extends beyond the four Amos, so no, it's no longer within that domain that the Makom Shvi'is is creating. And now it's in the branch, which we're assuming is still going to be an area of 4x4. And now it is a Rishus HaYachid. And so now what we have is your Makom Shvi'is Rishus HaRabim. It's the Eruv itself isn't a Rishus HaYachid. A Rishus HaYachid that's not within this domain of the Makom Shvi'is. And so therefore, you and Yeruv are in two different locations, and it's inaccessible. Okay, and now the Gemara just finishes up this picture of that we're painting over here. Maila mala maila mata. The Gemara says, yeah, but the language of the Mishnah is not super clear because the Mishnah's language is lamala lamata. And as Rashi explains over here, lamala lamata makes it sound much more like we're talking about the tree being vertical. But now we're describing it as the Eruv is on a horizontal branch. The words lamala lamata are just simply not the appropriate words. Rashi says, what would be the appropriate words? Namoch gavoa. Like we described, Rashi doesn't give this analogy, but like we described in the beginning of the Masechta, when we're talking about the korah, the horizontal beam going across, so the gavoa, right? That's the terminology that would be used to describe something horizontal. But over here, the words lama lamata make it sound like we're discussing vertical. So the Gemara says, fine. So dehadra zakif. So the Gemara says, fine, so we're just going to finish painting the picture, and that is, now we go back to my original description, it's the letter lamed. It goes up, makes a turn horizontally, and then makes a turn going up. Two right angles, and eventually now the tree is going up. And the whole point of doing this is so that now the Eruv is going to be placed where? At the outside of the domain of the Makom Shvi'is, meaning on the upward turn, but after the bend. So now it's beyond Dalet Amos of your Makom Shvi'is. And again, we're assuming the tree is a Rishus HaYachid. The branch of the tree is a Rishus HaYachid. The area below the base of the tree is a Rishus HaRabim. So you and your Eruv now are in two different domains on Shabbos. It would be an Issa Deraisa to retrieve your Eruv. And so therefore, what are we looking at over here? An Issa Deraisa for you to retrieve it. And that's the shot in the Mishnah. And also making account for this halacha, this novel idea of Rava, that a city limit, the airspace goes up. The domain that's created by the Makom Shvi'is, the airspace goes up. So we are taking that into account, and that's why we're redirecting the tree. So the Gemara over here says, okay, but I'm going to challenge you based on the following. I still think that the Eruv is accessible. Why? Because you don't have to walk through the Rishus HaRabim to retrieve your Eruv. Here's what you could do. You can climb the tree. You can go along the horizontal side of the branch. You can then get the Eruv from the when the branch turns up where your Eruv is, and then go down, but just simply descend down the branch. And now, in doing all this, what you've done is that you've retrieved it back to your Makom Shvi'is, and you've done so without violating Nisa Daraisa. So the Gemara says, so once we can do that, so then it would be okay. So v'ha'i bai maisele derech alav. So the Gemara is asking exactly this question. Kisharabim mechatvin alav. So the Gemara says, well, the horizontal is a Rishus HaRabim status. How are we saying that? So ukidu'ula, because it's based on the statement of Ula, taking us all the way back to the first sugya of Masechta Shabbos, where there the Gemara spends 9 blot from base to test. Okay, so but 8 blot. The Gemara spends the first sugya of Masechta Shabbos talking about the halachas of Hotza'ah, and one of the points that we made over there is the point of Ula. Amar Ula amotisha b'rishus HaRabim v'rabim mechat v'nlav v'zark v'nach agabav chayev. So Ula introduces us to this idea that when I have something in the Rishus HaRabim, which is 9 tvachim high, specifically 9 tvachim high, so it is now considered part and parcel of the Rishus HaRabim. Why? because it happens to be the perfect height so that when the people are going through the Rishus Rabim and they're carrying something on the shoulder, they can rest it on this item of 9 tefachim high, and it therefore serves as utility for the people walking through the Rishus Rabim. Therefore, that item is now considered part and parcel of the Rishus Rabim. Its status is a Rishus Rabim. This is a halacha of Rabim Mechatfen Alav. Now, it happens to be that Ula was discussing a different scenario over there where you throw on top of it, you're going to be chayv, meaning you're more than 4 amas away. You throw on top of it, you're going to be chayv because it's a Rishus Rabim, and you just threw more than dal amas in a Rishus Rabim. Anyway, but this idea of Rabim Mechatfen Alav, that happens to be the area of this branch over here. Even if I were to climb and get my Eruv through the tree and walking across the branch itself is a Rishus HaRabim status, and so therefore now, by retrieving my Eruv, so I'd be moving the Eruv from Rishus Yach to Rishus HaRabim, the branch itself is a Rishus HaRabim based on the principle of Ula, of Rabim Mechatfen Alav. Okay, that is a lot in terms of defending Rava, but the Gemara feels that Rava's correct, and the Gemara spent the time in defense of Rava. Quickly recapping, what we have just learned together is that this scenario that we painted in our Mishnah, where the Erev was placed on a branch of the tree, and you wanted to make your Makam Shvisa at the base of the tree, and that base is of Rishus Rabim, and the branches of Rishus Yachid, so the Mishnah says, no good. Even according to Rebbe, it's no good, because retrieving your Erev would be in Issa Daraisa, it would be the Malacha of Hotza'ah, you'd be transporting it from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, and therefore it becomes to you inaccessible, halachically inaccessible. Now, since that point in time, meaning between yesterday's Mishnah and yesterday's Gemara and the point that we're at right now, so we've added a lot more information. And that is really the halach of Rava. Rava says is that when you're making your Erev in a city, within the perimeter of the city, so therefore, your Makum Shvisa, even if you're saying it's at the base, but really because it's within a city, it allows us to look at your Makum Shvisa as if it's not just limited to the base, but it continues to go up, and it ascends. It's as if the city is filled. And again, to reiterate, not that we're changing Rishuyos. The Rishus below is the Rishus HaRabim. The Rishus on the tree is the Rishus HaYachid. But what we get to do is we get to basically, we get to play around a little bit with where your Makam Shvisa is. It's not limited. Your Makam Shvisa continues to go up as if it's within a city limit. We're extending that idea to even the Makam Shvisa itself, not within a city perimeter. But we know that the Makam Shvisa creates a domain of 4 amos. So now with this domain of 4 amos, so now what we get to say is the same thing, is that your Makam Shvisa within those dalamas go up as well. Now that we said the Halach of Rava, so it forces us to go back to the Mishnah, introduce ourselves again to the case of the Mishnah, but have to add now a detail in the Mishnah to take into account this halach of Rava, notably that the branch is not simply going up, but the branch that you put your Erev on juts out, meaning that there's a horizontal branch going out. It's going out further than 4 amos of this domain that's created by your Makom Shvisa, and then it goes up again. The only reason why it went up again is because of the language of the Mishnah, of Lamala Lamata. It goes up again, and under those circumstances, now the Erev is in a Rishus HaYachid, not within your 4 amos domain, and so therefore it is totally a different area than your Makom Shvisa, and so therefore accessing it, retrieving it would be Nisa Daraisa. So that's what we had to do to our Mishnah, add to our Mishnah, in order to account for the Halacha of Rava. That takes us through the first part of today's daf. Here we go now, part 2 of today's daf. I know we're still in the Amud Aleph, but now we're going to basically, this is going to cover us for the remaining parts of the daf. We have now discussed extensively this machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim of whether or not they were gozer shvus, or they were gozer yisur derabbanan during the Banish Mashas period. Rebbe says they were not, and the Chachamim said they are, and the Gemara now is going to formally introduce us to this machlokus. My Rebbe, my Rabbana detanya, so we're going to learn it now via a braisa, meaning we're not going to see this machlokus in the Mishnah. We know about the machlokus, the Gemara references it all the time. Our Mishnah, as we have already established yesterday, is going like the Shita of Rebbe. Okay, in terms of the Halacha, it certainly sounds like we're adopting the Shita of Rebbe. We have a Stam Mishnah following like Rebbe. On the other hand, as we're about to see together, it's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chacham, and Rebbe now turns into a Das Yachid. So that's something to take into consideration. But anyway, we're going to see the machlokes now between Rebbe and the Chacham. Now, so here the Braisa is going to be addressing our very discussion. You put your Eruv in a tree above 10 tefachim. In Eruv, Eruv, the Eruv is no good. Lamatim Yasar tefachim, Eruv, Eruv. Below 10 tefachim, the Eruv, in fact, would be good. If Eruv, also Litlo, but you can't take your Eruv from there. Right? Oddly enough, the Eruv works, but you can't retrieve your Erev. Why? Because it's Nisa de Rabbanan. Now, are we talking about during the Ben Hashemashah period, or are we talking about on Shabbos itself? Okay? Right now, I'll leave that question open-ended, but the basic idea is that this Shita, obviously, is the Shita of Rebbe, as the Bryce is going to spell it out. But the idea is that the only thing preventing you from accessing your Erev is the Nisa de Rabbanan of being Mishamish Be'et, being Mishamish Be'ilan. That's fine. It's an Issa Durabanan. There is no Gzeira. Meaning if the only thing preventing you from retrieving your Erev is an Issa Durabanan, Rebbe says your Erev is going to be a functional Erev. It would work. Now, Bisoch Shlosha Mutar Lidlo. Let's say you put it in a tree, but within three Tfachim of the ground. So then it's nothing. It's not Gzeira Durabanan. It's not an Issa Durabanan. Anything within three tefachim of the ground is simply part and parcel of the ground. It's just considered the bumps and the ridges of a ground, and so therefore it's no different than putting your Erev on the ground itself proper, and there's not even an Issur Derabbanan to take it. Fine. Nasna b'kalkala v'talo b'ilan afilu l'malam yasar tefachim eruv v'eruv devei Rebbe. And then another scenario in which you put your Erev in the basket, you hang the basket in the tree, and even if it's above 10 tefachim, the Erev would be a good Erev devei Rebbe, that's Shitas Rebbe. Okay, well, what exactly is going on with that basket? Why is the basket making everything okay? Stay tuned, as that will become now a big part of the second half of today's daf. The Chachamim say that if I cannot access my Erev, so then the Erev is not going to be a good Erev. And it doesn't matter what is preventing access. If it's an Issa D'Oraisa, if it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, if I cannot access my Erev, the Erev is simply no good. Good. We have now just introduced ourselves to the Shita of Rabbi and the Shita of the Chachamim within this Braisa. Good that we have introduction. Now what we need is clarification. The Braisa over here is bringing down two cases according to Rabbi. One where I put it stam in a tree. Above 10, no good because it's a Rishus Yachid. Below 10, good because it's not a Rishus Yachid. And then he describes this case with the basket, which quite frankly at this point in time, we don't know what's going on with the case of the basket. We're gonna see clarification. Then the Braisa brought in the Shita of the Chachamim that say no. Now, what are they saying no to? Which case are they saying no to? That's going to be a big part of our discussion. But their no is a definitive no, meaning if I can't access my Erev, the Erev simply is no good. Okay, so at least at this point in time, we know the Chachamim are saying no. But what exactly are they addressing when they say no? Which part of Rebbe, which point of Rebbe are they saying no to? Gemara's question. V'chachamim ahaya. Which point of Rebbe are they addressing? So, ilei masefa. So they are talking about the case of the basket. So, lema kasavri abanin studin asurin. So the Gemara says, well, is the case of the basket just a simple question of studim? I say simple. We go back to the end of Masechet Shabbos. It's one of the last sugyas in Masechet Shabbos. So that means that we covered in the daf a little over a month ago. Now, this last sugya Masechet Shabbos addresses the following. The Gzeira Ilan says that we cannot climb a tree. And does it also mean that I can't lean something against a tree? This is what's called Stadin. And also, if you remember the Gemara over there, there was a sub-discussion of Tzidate Stadim. And that means using a tree not directly, but rather indirectly. A peg was banged into a tree, and now I'm leaning the ladder against the peg. That's Tzidate Stadin. But right now, let's just talk about Stadin itself. So it's Stadin Asur, Stadin Mutter. You remember the Gemara over there? It's a Machlokas. Machlokas ended up becoming a Machlokas between Abai and Rava. Anyway, it's a Machlokas over there. So the Gemara says, so now, here's the story. We know that that discussion over there in Erevin ended off as a stalemate, meaning it was a Machlokas. Okay, and the Gemara's conclusion over there, that Stadin was Asur, but Tzidate Stadin or Mutter, but when all said and done, the Machlokas itself was never resolved. So the Gemara says that if you're understanding that the Chachamim are rejecting Rebbe over here in our Braisa on the grounds of you're making use of the tree indirectly, the basket is hanging on the tree, you're making the use of the tree indirectly, so that means to say now that this is a topic of Stadin. Why wasn't this introduced at the end of Masechet Shabbos in order to weigh in on that discussion? And as Rashi points out over here, we would have then not only weighing in on the discussion, but weighing heavily in favor of the Chachamim, meaning again, it's Machlokas over here between the Chachamim versus Rebbe. Rebbe's a Shitas Yachid, Das Yachid. We'd be following the Chachamim. Why wasn't this introduced over there at the end of Masechet Shabbos? It's because the Amoraim knew over there that this is not an issue of Stadim. So if it's not an issue of Stadim, so then what's going on over here? Ela Reisha. So back to the Gemara says it's talking about the Reisha, meaning that when the Rebbe was making the distinction of putting the basket, when putting the Eruv on the tree above 10 versus below 10, this is what the Chachamim are objecting to. So hi Ilan Hechidam, the Gemara says, okay, but let's get more clarification. So we're talking about a tree. We know the height. What is the area of the tree? Well, if the area of the tree is less than 4x4, so it's a thin tree, so then it's a makom pater. And a makom pater, one can transfer from a makom pater to Rishos HaRabim. There's not even an issur de rabbanan in doing so. So that can't be the case. If it's a makom pater, the chachamim would be perfectly fine for you to transfer the eruv from the thin tree to the ground below. That's transferring from a makom pater to Rishos HaRabim. That would be perfectly fine. That can't be what we're talking about. V'id de'izbe arba, okay, so it's an area of 4x4. So the Gemara says, kinasu be'kakala mayhave. So the Gemara says, fine. So it's an area of 4x4, and now I understand what the chachamim are balking at. They're balking at the idea that if it's an area of 4x4, so above 10 tefachim is a Rishos HaYachid, everyone agrees it's inaccessible. That's an Isser Daraisa. If it's below 4, so then it is... It would be an issur d'rabbanan because below, If it's an area of 4x4, if it's above 10, so then it's a Rishos HaYachid. If it's below 10, so it's not a Rishos HaYachid, but it's still an area, meaning it's a karmelis, and that would be an issur d'rabbanan. And now we understand the Chachamim who are arguing with Rebbe. Fine. All this is well and good. But now, let's just play out the sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe's talking about a tree. We just established the tree is an area of 4x4. And the height of the tree is 10 tefachim. If it's above 10 tefachim, it's a Rishos HaYachid, no good. If it's below 10 tefachim, so then it's not a Rishos HaYachid, then it would be fine. It's a karmelis, it would be an issur d'rabbanan. This is Rebbe. Rebbe says that the chachamim were not gozer shvus during the Ben Hashemashos period. Fine. The Gemara says, but now let's look at Shita's Rebbe. Because Rebbe then says that in said tree, where it is an area 4x4, and it's above 10 tefachim, and it's a Rishos HaYachid, so in said tree, if I put a basket on top and I put the eruv in the basket, so then we're good. And now we have to ask the obvious question. How does the basket help? Just because I put a basket now on top of there and I put the eruv in the basket, so now everything is good according to Rebbe? It's a Rishos HaYachid. And presumably the basket's not changing the status of the Rishos HaYachid. If anything, it just enhances the Rishos HaYachid. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly doesn't remove the status of Rishos HaYachid. How does the basket help, according to Rebbe? That is our question, and for the remainder of today's daf, that's the question that we're going to respond to. So, I'm just going to reread the question. So, by putting a basket over there, how did you help? And for this, we're going to have two approaches amongst the Amorayim. One is going to be Ravina, which we're going to see right now, and the end of today's daf, we're going to have Rebbe Yirmiyahu. Okay, so we'll start with Ravina. Am Ravina Resha di Isbe Arba, Sefa Delaisbe Arba. So, in the Resha of the Shita of Rebbe, we're talking about a tree that's 4x4. And the Erev went on a top of the tree that was above 10 Tfachim. In other words, Rishos HaYachid. And therefore, it's going to be Aser. What's the Sefa? The Sefa is talking about where the tree itself was not 4x4. Okay? Now, admittedly, this shot of Ravina already is difficult because basically we're changing the circumstance. And typically speaking, when addressing a Mishnah or a Braisa, we want to keep the circumstance a constant, and then just simply the halacha is going to change based on the various ways we're using the circumstance. Okay, so over here, admittedly, it's going to be a challenging pshat, but okay. So, but meanwhile, though, we get to introduce a lot of ideas over here. Fine. So Ravina says that in the first part of the Mishnah, it's an area of 4x4, and you put it above 10 tefachim, it's a Rishos HaYachid, inaccessible, min HaTorah, good. In the second case of Rebbe with the basket, the tree is less than 4x4. And what did you do? You didn't put the basket on top, you put it on the side. And now if I take the area of the basket plus the tree, now I get to 4x4, the combined total. Delais be'arba, the kalkala mashli maso le'arba. The combined area of the tree, if we were to do a cross-section of the tree, plus the area of the basket, now is going to make an area 4x4. Now, in order to say that this is a significant area, two points have to be established over here. As we continue in the Gemara on the Amud Beis, Rebbe Savalaka Rebbe Meir, Savalaka Rebbe Yehuda. There are two Tanaim that Rebbe attaches himself to in order to make this point. First of all, Savalaka Rebbe Meir, Damar Chokin Lahashlam. The Shita of Rebbe Meir, which we already saw earlier in the Masechta, and we get to now review again. We saw this back on Daf Yudal. The idea of Chokakin LaHashlim is this idea that if I have, let's say, an arch, and in order to be Chayv and Mezuzah, so the area of the doorway has to be minimum 4 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim high. the archway is cutting into that area. What Rav Meir says is that what the halacha allows us to do is that the halacha basically allows us to carve the rest of the doorway out. We don't have to physically do so, but as long as there is material to carve out, so then halacha looks at it as if it is already carved out. This is chokik in lahashlin. So over here, when it comes to the basket and the tree, so what the halacha allows us to do is to take a look at the tree as if it's carved out. So now the basket together with the tree is going to make for an area in total of 4x4 tefachim. Furthermore, and also on top of that, he subscribes to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, which we have not seen yet, this is our first introduction to Shita's Rav Yehuda. In order for the Erev to be a good Erev, it has to be on a Makom Dalet. It's very similar to what we discussed in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. Remember back in Masechta Shabbos, we talked about Akira and Hanacha when it comes to the Malacha of Otsah. You have to pick it up from a place and you have to put it down on a place. And that place has to be a Makom Chashav. It has to be a significant place. If it's not, so then it doesn't qualify as a kira, it doesn't qualify as anacha. And the Gemara spent a lot of time discussing over there in that first sugya of Shabbos, well, what about your hand? Because the cases over there in that first Mishnah was talking about transferring to a hand. And the Gemara's conclusion over there, after much back and forth, is that the hand is considered like a makam dala, because the hand is a makam chashav. So Rav Yehuda over here says that when you're putting down your Erev Tchum, it has to go on an area of a makam dala by dala. If it does not, in other words, if you're just simply balancing it on some thin pole, so then it's not going to be a valid Eruv. Okay. So over here, we need Rav Meir to say Chokik and Lashon to get me to a Makom Dalet by Dalet. And on top of that, we also need Rav Yehuda, who says that if I don't have a Makom Dalet by Dalet, so then the Eruv is not going to be a good Eruv. Okay. And under those circumstances, now we get it. Now we get it vis-a-vis how the basket is going to help. Because the basket is going to help because Rebbe subscribes to the shitas of Rebbe Meir and the shita of Rebbe Yehuda, and because we subscribe to both of those positions, so now the Eruv finds itself on a makom dal by dalet. Okay, now, one more point to discuss over here, and Rashi discusses it. If we are looking at this as chokik in lahashlam, it's a makom dal by dalet, and it's above 10 tefachim, so isn't this area now Rosh Hashayachid? And wasn't your intention to make the makom shvisa at the base of the tree, which is a rishus harabim? Meaning, okay, so I understand that the basket allows me to look at it as a makom chashav. Isn't it a makom chashav, and isn't it also a rishus hayachid? And so therefore now the Erev should be deemed inaccessible. The very top Rashi addresses this question, and he writes as follows. I'm reading the top Rashi. So Rashi writes, the Amar Gabi Kippa Beper Kama Chokin Lahashlin, that was the case of the arch, which we already brought up. Umihu, Rishus HaYachid Gemur Lo Havei. So Rashi over here immediately addresses it. He says it's not a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Kevan, De'ein B'tachtisho Shal Ilan Rachav Dalin, Afagav De'Barasha Rachav Arba, De'Kal Kalam Ashlim Al Asara, Lo Havei Rishus HaYachid, El Im Kain, Maschol Yos Rachva Arba, Mitok Gimel, Hasmuchin Lekarka. Rashi writes, in order for it to be Rishus HaYachid, the dala by dala area has to go all the way down to the base. And only then is it going to be considered Rishus HaYachid. Since the basket is hanging on the tree. So it's true on the top area of the basket, it's a chashavir, it's a makam dala by dala, because we're using the principle of chokik and lahashlam, all that's true. But it's not a Rishus HaYachid, because a Rishus HaYachid, in order to be deemed a Rishus HaYachid, has to go all the way down. You need a makam dala by dala going all the way down. Rashi references the Gemara in Shabbos where we talked about the boat that was submerged in the water, and the boat drops down to a V. So at the point of the V on the bottom, it's not a makom dal by dal, but it spreads out really quickly. Within three tefachim of the base, it already spreads out to an area of 4x4. So that's why the boat is considered Rishus HaYachid. So over here, it's not a Rishus HaYachid because the 4x4 area does not descend all the way down to the floor. That is Rashi's explanation in terms of why it's not a Rishus HaYachid. This Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, that for an Erev to be good Erev, where is the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda? So we're not going to find it in the Mishnah, and I know that because the Gemara is going to be quoting a Braisa. So my Rebbe Yehuda to Tanya, we are back in the Gemara. We're just establishing now the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda that has to be on a Makom Chashav in order for the Erev to be good Erev. So Rebbe Yehuda Amar Natz Korah Bereshus HaRabim V'niach Eruv Ha'alei Gavol Yud V'rach V'dalad Eruv Eruv V'im Lav Ein Eruv V'Eruv. Rav Yehuda says that if I stick a pole in the ground and it's in the Rishus Rabban, and I put an Erev on top of it, above 10, and it happens to be at the top, it's 4 Tzvachim wide, so the Erev would be a good Erev. Otherwise, the Erev is not going to be a good Erev. Now, over here, the Gemara immediately is bothered, Adraba, Huve Eruva B'Makom Echad. I don't understand, if it's below 10 Tzvachim, it's better. You and Yerev in the same location. Elahachi kamar. So immediately we need clarification of this braitza. Gavora sarat sarach shiyeh berosho arba'a. So if it is above 10 tfachim, it has to be now that the area on the top is 4 tfachim. Ein gavora sarah, ein sarach shiyeh berosho arba'a. But if it is not 10 tfachim high, so then you don't need an area of 4. Now, explanation over here. So I'm paraphrasing Rashi. Everything I'm about to say is coming from Rashi. Basically, it's like this. If the pole is above 10 tefachim, so now, according to Rav Yehuda, in order for the Erev to be good, it has to be sitting on a significant location. It has to be that the makom of the Erev itself has to be a makom dal al dal. Fine. So that's why the pole in of itself is no good above 10 tefachim, unless the top of the pole is going to be an area of 4x4. I is in it now of Rishus HaYachid. So again, we're going to go back to what we said moments earlier. No. Because in order for it to be Rishus HaYachid, the 4x4 has to go all the way down to the ground. That's not what you have over here. The most of this is a pole. It's just a thin pole. It's only at the top. You have a makom dal al dalet. What if it's lower than dal al dalet? I'm sorry. What if it's lower than 10 tefachim? If it's lower than 10 tefachim, so then you're good all around. Meaning that it's not a Rishus HaYachid, obviously. It's thinner than, it's just a pole. And in terms of it being on a makom chashuv, it is on a makom chashuv. How? How is it on a makom chashuv? Because once it's below 10 tefachim, so then we're basically saying that it's like omid ba'avir. It's like in the air. Now, if it's in the air, what's that? That's not a makom chashuv. So Rashi over here invokes the idea of kluta kemishon chadamya, that when something is in the airspace of a domain, it's as if it's on the ground of the domain. So if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and this is a Rishus HaRabim, so then it's as if it's in the Rishus HaRabim itself. It's almost like, not almost, halachically, it's like it's sitting on the ground of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, that is the braisa with the clarification that the Gemara gives, and so therefore this is just establishing that according to Rav Yehuda, for the Erev to be good, it has to be on a makom chashuv, and it has to be sitting on a makom dal by dalet. Now the Gemara says all this is good, however it seems to preclude ourselves from an opinion that we saw back in Masechet Shabbos. Kemanda lo k'Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Seems that we're not including in this discussion the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. What was his Shita? Detain Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Omer. Na'atz kana b'rishus harabim b'hinich b'rosho traskal v'zarech v'nach agabav chayev. You take a pole, you put a basket on top of the pole. The basket's an area of 4x4. And then you throw something from a Rishus HaRabim to the top of the basket. So then you're going to be chayiv. You've just transferred from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Now, this basket, it's only 4x4 on top of a pole. It's not going all the way down. We've just said repeatedly in today's daf that in order for something to be Rishus HaYachid, you need it to go all the way down. The walls have to go all the way down. So our discussion today seems to preclude the position of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says not necessarily. Afilu tema Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says no. We're not leaving Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda out of our discussion. And that is Hasam Hadra Mechitzasa, Achalo Hadra Mechitzasa. And the way Rashi explains it, and again, I'm just paraphrasing right now, just for the sake of time, the way Rashi explains it is that in the case of the basket, so what do I have over here? The basket has got four walls. Now again, those are walls of the basket. But at least now you have the beginning of a wall, and what halacha allows us to do is to see the walls coming down. This is the idea of good achis, that when I have a wall, the walls continue to go down. They drop down on all sides. And so therefore, this area, 4x4, goes down to the bottom because of good achis, which you have all around. In the case where I'm now sticking the basket to the side of the tree, so what do I, before I get to the walls dropping down, what do I first need? I first need to establish a makom dal by dalet. How do I establish makom dal by dalet? By invoking the principle of Reb Meir of Chokikin Lahashlin. So first you have to invoke Chokikin Lahashlin, and then and only then can we say good achis. The way Rashi explains it, that's just too much. That's too much to ask for. You can't say good achis, but only after invoking the principle of Chokikin Lahashlin. So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, who has the basket on the top of the pole, the walls come down, good achis, simple. In our case, it's not that simple, because you need first Chokikin Lahashlin, then you need the walls to come down. That's too much to ask for. It's a double halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Okay. That is all approach number one in terms of how to address the question. So again, let's reset the question because I can perfectly understand if at this point in time we're just a little bit lost. I strongly encourage, I encourage every day to go over the daf, right? I chazer the daf every day, but today especially. It's a challenging daf. But let's just reset the question. We had a brisa on the Amud Aleph on Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. The brisa describes where Rebbe says that if you're putting the eruv in a tree where the tree is 4x4, and I put above 10 tefachim, and I wanted my makom shlisa to be on the ground, which is the Rishus HaRabim, that's no good. That's inaccessible. One would have to violate Isra Daraisa of going from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim in order for the Erev to be good. No good. That's simply no good. If, however, you put a basket over there, that's fine. Well, you put a basket over there, how did that change anything? So approach number one is that the case of the basket, we're changing the dimensions of the tree. It's still above 10 tefachim, but the tree now is narrower than 4x4, and what is happening is that by laying the basket on the side of the tree, the basket plus the tree gets me to an area of 4x4. And it only works if I invoke the principle of Reb Meir, of Chokik and Lahashlin. On top of that, Rebbe's also subscribing to the Shita of Reb Yehuda. For an Erev to be effective, it has to be in a Makom Dal by Dalid. Chokik and Lahashlin gets me to that Makom Dal by Dalid. And that's why the basket now is going to improve the situation. Okay, that is one approach to understanding how the basket helps according to Rebbe. And here we begin approach number two. We're going to start it now, and we'll continue obviously into tomorrow's daf. But let's start Rebbe Yirmiyah. Rebbe Yirmiyah Amar Shani Kalkala Hoviyachol Lintosa Ulaviel Asoch Asara. So Rebbe Yirmiyah says like this: we're not changing the dimensions of the tree. The tree is going to be the same area, 4x4, 10 tefachim high. And again, if I put it on the tree itself, it's in the Rishus HaYachid. You and your Erev are not in the same location. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. Good. The Erev is not going to work. That part we understand. What does the basket do? Basket now is on same said tree. But the basket over here, at least what you could do now is the following. You can flip the basket over, turn it downward, so that now the basket will, and the contents of the basket will be within 10 tefachim of the ground. And let me read it again in the Gemara. Revir Miyarma Shani Asara. I'm sorry. Shani Kalkala. Hol v'yachlin tosa la'vila soch asara. You can flip the basket over. Okay. If you have a good visual over here, as you're now tilting the basket downward. And so now the contents of the basket, meaning your Eruv, are going to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. And you could do this. That's all well. And since you could do this, so therefore Halacha views it as if you actually did it. To which the Gemara says, really? So because you could have done something, so therefore we're going to be given a little more room, a little more flexibility by Erev Tchomim. So the Gemara says, I find that hard to believe. So the Gemara says, consider the following, Esrei Rav Bar Sheva L'Rav Papa. And the following challenge based on the following Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Ketzad hu osem olicho berishon umachshei chalav v'nolo uvalo b'sheni. This Mishnah over here is describing a scenario in which it is Yontif, then followed immediately by Shabbos. Yontif is on a Friday, and then the next day, of course, is Shabbos. And what you want to do is you want to set up your Erev Tchum. And you're going to do it two times over. You're going to set it up for Yontif, and then you're going to set it up for Shabbos, with the assumption that you have to do it twice. We will discuss later in this sugya as to whether or not you even need to do it twice. Meaning maybe we could view Yontif and Shabbos as one elongated period of 48 hours. But anyway, that's coming up later. But in the meantime, however, we're assuming right now that you have to set up your Erev Tchum twice, once for Yontif and once for Shabbos. The one advantage that you have by Yontif is that you can actually carry your Erev. Hotzah is mutter on Yontif. So, the advice given over here in this Mishnah is Ketzad hu oseh, I'm just rereading it, molicha barishon machshei chalav v'nolo. So what you're going to do is that you're going to walk the Erev over there. And as Rashi points out over here, it's not you that's walking it over there, because once you're there, so then you don't need food. Then you can just simply make an Erev Tchum biraglaim. You're physically there. It means, says Rashi, that you sent it with somebody. So you're going to send the Erev with somebody to the Makom Shvi'i that you desired. That person's going to sit there during the Bein HaShemeshos period as Yontif is being introduced. Then what he can do is he can come back. He can come back home without food, meaning the food accomplished its goal of creating a makom shvisa. So he can come back without food. Now, next evening or before next evening, so as Yontif now transitions into Shabbos, but before Bein HaShemeshos, you're going to take the same food, uvalo b'sheni machshei chalav va'ochla uvalo. and you can bring the food over there, and you're going to sit there with the food, and now it's the same food can be used for your Erev Trum a second night in a row. And now, you can't walk home with the food because now it's Shabbos, and Shabbos carrying is Aser. But if you want, you can eat the food, that would be fine. Now, Amai, as we are now on the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, why is that, in fact, why do we need to go through all this? Nema, Kevin Ibaye, Amtue, Matze Mamtile. Afagav Delo, Amteye. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, we're saying I could have. Right? By Erev Tchumim, I could have is a valid argument. Well, you know what you could do on Yontiv? You could have brought your Erev over there. Meaning that was a possibility. Or when, I'm sorry, let's say it better. When Yontiv transitions to Shabbos, you could have brought your Erev Tchum over there. And since you could have, that should be enough. That should be sufficient. Much like when the Erev is in the basket, well, we could have tilted it over. And since we could have tilted it over, so therefore the Erev is going to be acknowledged as a good Erev. So too, if I could have brought my Erev over there, so that should work as my Erev. Okay, that and obviously we know that that is an absurd argument. And not only is that an absurd argument, well, it sounds like an absurd argument, but more importantly, the Mishnah tells us that that's not enough, that's insufficient. You actually have to bring your Erev over there. And so the Gemara suggests over here, Am Rabbi Zerik, Zerim Mishum Yanto Shechal, Lios Achar Shabbos. Well, maybe in theory it would work. However, consider the following. What happens in a scenario in which you have for Shabbos and then Yantav is being on a Sunday? Once you habituate yourself to this idea of walking my Erev over on Yantav Shabbos, so then I'll just simply, by habit, I'll just do the same thing by Shabbos Yontiv. And what's the problem with that? The problem with that is going to be, it's on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that in theory it would work, but the only problem is that once we get used to that, so then I would assume that the same thing would be true by Shabbos Yontiv. And it's not going to be true by Shabbos Yontiv. Why? Because on Shabbos you don't even have Hoel. In other words, it's not even a possibility. On Shabbos, I can't carry the Erev over because Shabbos there's an Isra Otsa. So for the one scenario of Shabbos Yontiv, the Chachamim are prepared to make a Gzera and say that under all scenarios, one cannot rely on this idea of Hoel, and one can't just simply say, well, potentially I could bring it over there. Okay, so at this point in time, we're defending Rav Yirmiyah's answer of this possibility of Hoel. Okay, let's recap a daf today, and I'm just admitting, it was admittedly a difficult daf. The more you go over it, I felt the more I went over it, the more I really processed and digested the daf. Okay, so number one, the first thing we did today was just reconfigure our case of the tree just a little bit, because we had to account for Shita's Rava. Rava says that when you make your Makom Shvisa in a domain, like a city, or like the four Amos of your Makom Shvisa, so then your Makom Shvisa is not just limited to the ground, your Makom Shvisa actually goes up. And so now you and your Erev would be in the same location, even if your Erev is above the tree. Good, that's Rava's Halacha. So then when we go back to our Mishnah, we had to just simply reconfigure the case of the Mishnah. Case of the Mishnah now becomes a little bit more complicated, where the tree goes up, then a branch makes a horizontal turn, and then that branch goes up again. But because it made a horizontal turn, now it's outside of the four Amos, now it's no longer in your domain, and that's why the Erev is in a Rishus HaYachid. You wanted to make your Makom Shvisa in a Rishus HaRavim, and that's why it's no good. Okay, so that was the first part of today's daf, just reconfiguring the case of the Mishnah in lieu of Rava's Halacha, which the Gemara seems to totally accept. Next is we introduced ourselves to the Shitas of Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe said that that B'Makom Shvus lo gazru Chachamim during the Ben HaShemeshes period, that B'Yisuri D'Rabbanan the Chachamim were not gozer. If the only thing preventing you access to your Erev during the Ben HaShemeshes period is Nisa D'Rabbanan, Rebbe says your Erev Tchum still works. As opposed to the Chachamim that say a blanket no. If your Erev is inaccessible, both by Issa D'Oraisa or by Issa D'Rabbanan, so then the Erev is not going to be a good Erev. That's the Shitas of the Rebbe and the Chachamim. That was the Gemara simply put. The problem was is that the Braisa gives us Rebbe in two scenarios. One is where I put the Erev in the tree. Above 10, no good because it's a Rishus Yachid. Below 10, that's just fine. And then above 10, if I put a basket over there, so then Rebbe says it's going to be good. And what we spent the rest of the daf discussing today is how does the basket help? If it's above 10 Tfachim, so how does the basket help? What does the basket contribute now making the Erev a good Erev? And we have two approaches in today's daf. One, Ravina, a second, Rav Yirmiyah. Ravina says that in the case of the basket, we have to reconfigure the tree. The tree is less than 4x4. Basket plus tree brings us to 4x4. And that's significant why. So first of all, how do we get there? Because we're invoking Shitas Rav Meir of Chokik in Lahashlem. Why do we have to invoke Rav Meir of Chokik in Lahashlem? Because also Rebbe subscribes to Rav Yehuda that in order for an Erev to work, it has to be an Amakum Chashuv, it has to be an Amakum Dalet by Dalet. We only have Amakum Dalet by Dalet over here because we are invoking Rav Meir Chokik in Lahashlem. Isn't it now an area called the Rishus Yachid? In other words, it's 4x4 and it's over 10 Tfachim high. So Rashi addressed that on the top of the Amud Beis, and Rashi says it's not a Rishus Yachid, because for it to be a Rishus Yachid, it has to be 4x4 all the way down to the bottom. Okay? And one last point on this discussion. What about Rav Yosef and Rav Yehud in his case of putting the basket, throwing the basket on top of the pole, where now the basket is 4x4, and good Achis says that the walls of the basket continue downward to the floor, and it is a Rishus Yachid. So isn't that now mean that we are leaving him out of our entire discussion? And the Gemara said, not necessarily. The case of the basket, so it's just simply the using the principle of good Achis. In our case over here, Chokik in Lahashlam and good Achis, too much. Even Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda will not entertain. And then our second approach, how is the basket helping? And that was the approach of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says we're not changing configuration. The tree is still 4x4, and it's above 10 tefachim, and it's in a basket. The basket helps. Why? Because you could turn the basket over, and so therefore the contents are now going to be under 10 tefachim, and because you could have done that, so halacha now says that it's as if we did it, and so therefore you and your erev are in the same domain. It's in the same location. And what the Gemara now has just challenged is this idea of hoel. So is that true? Seemingly not. We just quoted the Mishnah regarding the Yantav Shabbos scenario. The Gemara says, no, maybe Hoel does work. And over there, just because of a consideration of a Gzera, so over there we won't invoke Hoel.